Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1815. The topic is mindset, and the title is How to Be Consistent. I want to give three tips today on consistency. Hopefully they spark some thought process for you, and then you can kind of go from there and apply them to your life. But I heard a stat today that prompted today's podcast I thought was kind of fun and exciting. It's more so fun and exciting for me, so sorry, you're just going to have to listen to this. But hopefully it'll get to you eventually. What I mean by that is it was a stat about podcasts, and the person said 90% of podcasts don't make it past episode 3. Of the 10% that do, 90% of those don't make it past episode 20. So if you've made 21 podcasts, you're in the top 1% of all podcasts in history. So as part of me trying to get better at business and life, I listen to a lot of business books and podcasts and just YouTube videos, anything I can get that I think I can learn something from. And I listen to a lot of like self-help, like character development books as well. I love this stuff. It is just, to me, it's so exciting to believe that there's an opportunity for me to become better, to improve my life, to improve the way in which I help other people's lives. Just there's an opportunity every single day. Every time I open a video, every time I listen to a book, every single time you find a bit of information, there's an opportunity to get better. And that is just incredibly exciting. So I was listening to some material on trying to improve podcasts. I want to get better in the way in which I do the podcast. I want to get better in the way in which I market it. I just want it to be able to help more people. So I have to present it in a better way, so that way more and more people can, you know, be aware of it, be interested in it, and get the help from it. And that stat was something I came across in one of the podcast kind of educational videos. So I thought that was pretty cool. Is I'm at podcast 1815, so I made it past the 21 podcast mark pretty well. So I've been doing this, and it's been pretty consistent. When I first started the podcast, I didn't know if I was going to do it like every day. I thought maybe I would just do it, you know, every other, like there was a once a week, and I was like, it's just not enough. I don't think that's going to get enough interest right away. So I was like, maybe I'll just do it, you know, Monday through Friday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, take the weekends off. I just wasn't sure how to handle it. But I knew that putting out more content would be, number one, the way I would like to do it is I like just giving more and more and more, because not every single podcast is going to be of interest to every single person. So the more podcasts I made, the more chance that it helped someone. Eventually I would get to everyone was the idea. If I throw out 100, you know, maybe this person likes 10, this person likes 8, this person likes, you know, 14 of them, but it would get enough people. So that was my goal initially, was to put more out, but I wasn't sure how much. I eventually fell into the goal of doing it every single day. And I was like, I really like that. It's a personal development task to manage trying to do this every single day. One podcast, by the time it's kind of like if you think of the time that it takes from the start of, let me seclude myself, get my computer ready, let me type up an outline, record the podcast. I have to then download it up to my, upload it onto Podbean, which is the hosting platform I use. Then you fill out like the little description, you schedule it, and all of that in total can take between 20 to 30 minutes per podcast, usually closer to like 30 minutes. So I can get two podcasts done in an hour. But that's pretty much my routine. In order to find that 25 to 30 minutes every single day is very challenging. That's why I try my best Monday through Friday. I'll record like two of them. So maybe Monday I'll record two, Tuesday I'll record two, Wednesday two, Thursday two, and then I can take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off if I need to. So I do record them a little bit in like batches and bulks. But even then, it's hard to find, you know, an hour four or five times a week no excuses. You got to get it done. So I was looking at this, and it's been 1,866 days since I started the podcast. Now, when I first started, like I said, I didn't know the frequency I was going to do, so I wasn't as frequent at the very beginning, but it's been 1,866 days. I have made 1,815 episodes, so that's a 97.2% consistency. So that means since I started over 5 years ago, I've missed less than 3% of the days. So in the last 5 years, I've missed less than 3% of the days available in order for me to make a podcast. I think that's pretty good. I'd say that qualifies as being consistent. That's one of my better things I've done, consistency-wise. Now, I've done a lot of other crazy things. When I was trying to get bigger, like I graduated high school very skinny fat. I was 6 foot tall, 165 pounds, but no visible muscle tone. You couldn't see a vein in my body. I mean, I was just like as skinny and as fat as you could be at both those things at the same time. So I remember I had wanted to get lean, and I tried that for, you know, 2.5-3 years. I went through an anorexic phase and everything, and I just couldn't get lean, couldn't figure out what was going on. And then I was like, well, damn, if I'm going to be fat, at least let me be big and fat. Let me get some muscle on me. So I had read an article by Lee Priest, who is a bodybuilder from Australia, and he said when he was growing up to get bigger, he ate a chicken, a loaf of bread, and a gallon of milk every day. And where I lived, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get a chicken every day, you know. I live in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. It was like 40 minutes to the closest Walmart. So I was like, I don't know about that. Like, bread is carbs. It's just going to make me fat. Oh, God. You know, what you don't know when you're young. But I was like, well, I can probably get a gallon of milk. And I actually liked milk at the time. So I was like, well, I could do that. I could do a gallon of milk every day. So I drank a gallon of milk every single day for 2 years. Literally every day. I didn't miss a single day in 2 years of drinking a gallon of milk. That is insane. It was funny because I was afraid of the carbs and the bread, but didn't even realize, didn't put two and two together that there was a lot of carbs and sugars in milk. I would have been better off eating the damn bread than I would have been drinking a gallon of milk due to the sugar content. But it's something I was consistent with. When I was also younger, I challenged myself and I said, I want to work out every day. You know, if I say I want to change, if I say I want to be better, I'm full of shit if I'm sitting around on my butt doing nothing. So I was like, I'm going to challenge myself and I should be able to work out every single day if I'm serious about this goal. So I worked out literally every single day for over 2 years. And I defined that as an intentional effort above daily activity. So if it was a very active day, I didn't just count that as exercise because that was just the way the day was. And this was back when I was working construction and cutting grass and stuff. So I was already exhausted and doing a million things. But I had the goal to work out every single day. So I did. Didn't miss a single day well over 2 years. I've done that for several units of years over time. Like 1 year here, 1 year there, year and a half over here. Just been very consistent with exercise. So it's been, I started working out when I was 15. And that was just push-ups and sit-ups, but it started on my 15th birthday. I'm about to turn 40 this year in about a month and a half. So that will have been 25 years. And in 25 years of exercise, I've never missed more than 7 days. So I've only ever taken a week off, like a Monday to a Monday, and I've only done that twice. So in 25 years, I've only taken a week off 2 times. So I've been pretty consistent with training over the years. And I remember one time I wanted to make myself more of a morning person. I'm not naturally a morning person, but I believed I would be more productive if I were to switch to being a morning person. So I set a challenge of doing 6 a.m. cardio every single day as a way to get myself up out of bed. So I had to do the cardio before 6 in the morning. That was absolutely stupid because it was so against my nature and I felt like a zombie. But I did that every single day for 10 months. So for 10 months, I got up in the morning and did cardio because it forced me to get up and get active, get moving. And what I found is what I really like about it is you wake up, you have the most energy you're going to have compared to like being up all damn day and then staying up late. You know, if you've been up all day and then you want to have like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. as like your time, you're going to be dead tired. You're not going to have your best energy. You're not going to make your best decisions at the end of the day compared to at the beginning of the day. So I didn't want to have decision fatigue. I didn't want to have just general fatigue. So getting up early in the morning is awesome because you have a little more energy than you would at the end of the day. You can make better decisions, and you do it before the world wakes up and gets in your way. So if you're awake before the rest of the world, you can get a lot of really cool things done and get ahead of the day. That lessens anxiety, lessens stress, and you just have a better overall feeling throughout the day. Say, hey, I know I already got a couple big things done. I'm already winning for the day. I'm already ahead. You know, and that's just a great, great, great feeling. And that feeling can be more addictive than the feeling of sleep. And that's pretty big coming from me. I do love sleep. But I am willing to and excited to get up in the morning now because I want to freaking crush my day and I want to feel ahead of the day. And that just helps me navigate the rest of the day feeling less stressed and feeling just more in control of my life. You know, the illusion of control. But I do like it. So I'm not a morning person in the sense of I like the benefits that getting up in the morning can get me. It's not that I do it because it's naturally easy. It's still very annoying to do. But I do it. The idea of consistency, I think that I have achieved it well in areas. Now, you know, there's always things we want to work on in personal development, things I could be doing better in other areas. But I do believe that when I set something as a priority for myself, that I can be consistent with it. So I wanted to share three tips that I believe will help consistency. So if you want to be more consistent with something, these are three tips. The first tip is to clarify your priorities. Where does what you want to be consistent with rank? So of the people priority list, and we talk about this a lot in podcasts, is the people in your life, you want to rank them in priority list. This is the most important person, second most important, third most important person. Now, is that like possibly politically correct to rank people? I don't care. It helps. So it's my list. Nobody else needs to know, so I don't have to be politically correct. The idea of that is, what I love about people priority lists and work priority lists is you make your mind up before you get to a decision. One of my best examples that I think you can relate to is if I'm leaving the gym at, say, 4 p.m., like, you know, the gym is my workplace. So if I'm leaving my workplace at 4 p.m. and a coworker stops me, or like say there's a person outside of the gym and they want a tour. So you can kind of think of this however, like your personal situation. But say you're leaving work at 4 p.m., a coworker says, hey, you know, I'm glad I caught you. Can I ask you a couple questions? Or can I, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they just start talking. And in your mind, you're like, well, hey, I was leaving at 4 because I planned to meet so-and-so. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, whatever it might be, at 4:30. And I know I have to leave at 4 to meet that person at 4:30. So for me, I think to myself, okay, if I'm leaving the gym at 4, and I told my wife, Meredith, that I'm going to be home at 4:30, what do I do? Do I show this person a tour around the gym? Do I answer their questions and then be late for my wife? Or do I tell that person, hey, I'm sorry, I'm on my way out? You know, and then I have like a prepared answer, and then I leave. They deal with my prepared answer, and maybe they have to come back the next day, but I'm home on time for my wife. I want to be home on time for my wife. My wife is a higher priority for me than a potential new member in the gym. If somebody disagrees with that, what can you do? It's not your people priority list. It's not your gym. So this is my list. This is what I get to do with life, is I want to decide who gets the best of myself. There's that phrase, yeah, you hurt the ones you love the most. Bullshit. I try my best. Now, Granted, I've hurt some people and did some things wrong here and there that I got to work on and fix. But I try my best to treat the people highest on my priority list with the most love, concern, care, attention that I can give while blending all the other crazy needs in life. But that's something that I'm intentional with, is where are the people in my life? So I'm a Christian. I believe in God, like a Christian God. So he's number one. Meredith and myself are like a tied number two, because, you know, I have to take care of myself to be able to give my best self to her. But there are times where I'll do something for her over myself. Then there are times where I'll clarify with her, hey, you know, I really need XYZ. Can I take care of XYZ and then do the thing that you needed? So I'll be open with her and communicate with her, and she's always fine with that. So she's awesome. But the idea is that I take care of myself. It's God, then me and her, and then pretty much everybody else. And the idea of that is it helps to structure my efforts to know that, okay, if I'm checking in with God regularly, if I'm checking in with my wife regularly, I need to check in with myself regularly, even though that's really hard to do. And then I would check in with, like, my parents, for example, then my brother, then my closest friends, then I have my clients. And it's just, you know, you have your list, you have your structure of people. It's very important to know that already. So that way, when there comes a decision, such as you're leaving work and a coworker asks you to stay for extra time, but you already told somebody higher on your priority list that you would be there for them, you don't have to freak out in the moment. You don't have to worry about what you do in the moment. You don't have to be like, oh man, you know, I don't want to offend this coworker. I know they never normally reach out. This is the first time they've ever reached out. Should I stay? Should I not stay? Maybe they're having problems. And that can be very overwhelming. And although you would make a good intentioned decision, you tend to hurt the other person. So the other person who wasn't directly in front of you was sitting there at home waiting for you. They're still hurt. You don't see that hurt. It's not the immediate person right in front of you, but it still hurts. So those are the things that you want to do, is clarify your priorities with people, and then clarify your priorities with work and, like, tasks. So for me, for my job, client check-ins and video reviews and, like, touching base with my clients is my number one work task, because they're paying me for my knowledge, my time, and my attention, and I want to make sure I want to give that. So I have to, I want to honor their decision to make me a part of their life. So they're my number ones in regards to work order. Then I like to create content such as the podcast, such as videos for social media. I'd love to be more regular on that, but I want to be able to create content, then go through, answer questions like via email. So I have email questions all the time, which I love. So I answer that, try to help people at the gym, things like that. But I know my order is, you know, attending to my clients first, and then everything else kind of comes secondary. So even the podcast has had to become secondary at times, which is why it's not 100%. You know, there are times where I needed sleep more than I needed to make a podcast. There are times when I needed to do check-ins or write a program more than I needed to do a podcast. So I have missed a podcast here or there due to something being a higher priority, and I'm running out of time. What do? I have to choose the highest priority. What's important to realize also when you choose your priorities is that you have a capacity limit. You can only do so many things well. And the more well that you want to do, the less things that you can do well. So what I mean by this is I can do 10 things mediocre, or I can do 3 things great, or I can do 1 thing excellent. You can't do 10 things excellent. You know, the better you want to do in something, the less other things you have to do. I've been very blessed to work with Olympians and professional athletes and people who are not professionals yet, but they take everything as if they are professional because that's how they freaking get there. So good on them. But I've worked with people who have very, very, very high level of achievement in one thing. And everything else in their life becomes secondary. And it's known to them, their family, everyone around them, that their sole focus is their job or their task or whatever it might be. I remember there was a thing I saw just recently. Joe Burrow is the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I guess there was a moment where his dad said, hey, you know, me and your mom are coming into town. Can we stop by? And Joe said, no. And I go, what? He said, no. He goes, I got a game coming up. I want to stay focused on this. I got some things I got to do. I don't have time. And it's like, oh, I'm not saying that that's necessarily, you know, the right kind of people order, you know, or anything like that. But that's the type of singular focus that people have if they want to be the tip-top best they could be at something. So if you want to be like Olympian level at like a sport, literally everything else needs to come second. Because to be an Olympian level, that sport has to come first. And what's involved with that sport is also your sleep, your food, your mental health. There are, almost infinite number of things that you need to do in order to be your best at a sport that is a lot other than just the practice time of the sport. That would be the smallest amount of time that you'd be paying attention to. I know, like in bodybuilding, for example, people often get into bodybuilding or, you know, whether it's bikini, figure, wellness, physique, all those things, classic physique, any of those categories, people are like, I love to train. I want to do, you know, bodybuilding. And it's like, oh, that's lovely. but to be like the best you can be in those aesthetic sport categories, the training is the easy part. The training is maybe 2 hours a day, but you still have to be accountable for the other 22 hours. You have to sleep appropriately. You have to eat appropriately, take all the supplements and the other things you got to do. I mean, there is just, it's a 24/7 job. Absolutely 24/7 job. It's labeled as one of the most selfish sports. But it's not selfish in the sense of the negative connotation. If you're open with communication, you're clear with everyone, and you get people on board with your goal and vision, and it's an open communication, I mean, everybody's going to be on your team. Everybody's going to be on board. Everybody's going to want you to succeed. They're going to be with you in that journey. So it's not selfish in the sense that you're cutting out other people or you're considering yourself more important than other people. It's just, hey, I have this really awesome task, this awesome goal, and I might only have a small window, say from 18 years old to 35. That's actually a small window in the span of life. But that's going to be kind of like the competitive window for aesthetic sports like that. Now, are there people older than 35 who do great? Absolutely, of course. I'm just saying, for the most part, you know, if you take the normal bell curve, the middle of the curve is going to be people 18 to 35. Now, it's probably actually be more like 22 to 35, because typically when you're 18, you're not muscular enough. But the idea is that's when you'd want to take it as serious as you can to see your truest potential. Those sports, if you communicate well, people are on board and it's not selfish. You know, it's just everybody understands that's your focus. But the idea is, I'm getting way off track, but the idea is that we have a limited capacity. So we have to choose our priorities very carefully because there are only so many things we can do well. And the more well that we want to do, the less things we have to choose, like we can choose. So if I want to be the absolute best in the world at something, I can't have any other somethings. If I want to be pretty good at something, I can have one or two other somethings. If I want to be just better than I've been before, then it does give me a lot more leeway. So if you're not trying to be the best in the world at something, you're like, hey, I'm currently exercising 0 times a week. Can I just get to 2 times a week? Then that's going to be a lot more on your list that you can try to balance with that. But I just want you to know that there's this capacity limit that not only do we need to clarify our priorities, but we also want to say, you know, how good do I want to be at this? And the better that I want to be, the less other things I can have as priorities. Then the second tip, because I'm already getting long-winded here, the second tip is to treat it as a priority. Meaning, you say it's a priority, but are you acting as if it's a priority? Are you putting it first in your daily planning? So you say, like, yeah, I want to eat better. Yeah, but what are you doing? Like, what are you doing to make that happen? Are you preparing foods? Are you ordering foods? Are you planning out when you're going to eat? Are you planning out when you're going to cook? Are you actually treating it as if it's a priority? Are you planning your day around it? There's the story that I've told before, is science teacher standing in front of a class. He has a big glass jar. He has three rocks, a kind of a small bucket of pebbles, and a bigger bucket of sand. And he tells the students, I want you to fill this glass jar with these objects. So the one student pours in the sand, pours in the pebbles, and then he realizes, oh man, I can only fit one rock in. The other student says, oh, I got it. So they put in the pebbles, then they put in the sand, and then they can only fit two rocks in. Then the teacher shows them, and he says, you have to put the big things in first. He puts in the three rocks. He then pours the pebbles around the rocks, then he pours in the sand, and the sand fills in the cracks between the rocks and the pebbles. Your biggest priorities are your big things. They're the rocks. They have to be accounted for and planned first in your day so they fit. Then the pebbles are kind of like your things that are also important, but they're not your highest priorities. You got to fit them in next. And then the sand is everything else. Everything else that isn't time sensitive, that isn't as important, you just get it in where and when you can. So that would be very helpful. The third tip is to focus on a solution, not an excuse. You want to go through your day looking for how you can do it, not what might prevent you from doing it. So an example of this is I look at my days and I say, okay, what do I have that is time sensitive? Like that's like already timed in. So maybe I'm going with my wife and we're going up to, like yesterday we went up to Charlotte. We had to go up in the morning between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. So I was going to be in Charlotte from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's like, okay, if I know that, and part of the day was going to be like we were going to be apart. So she was going to do some things. I was going to do some things. And I was like, okay, well, if that's my time frames and that's what I'm driving, when would be the best time to fit in the podcast? When would be the best time to fit in my workouts? When am I going to eat? So I got up early, made food, ate in the morning, made food for her and I for during the day. And then I knew when we got back, I would eat again and then eat again before bed. So I had an idea of when my time, when my meals would be. I then figured out, hey, I'm going to be in Charlotte. One of my favorite gyms is up in Charlotte, Fitness Factory of Charlotte. I was like, why don't I get in my workout while I'm in Charlotte? I'll catch the podcast and my client work when we get back home. So I did that. I planned when my meals were going to be and what I would eat at each meal. I planned when I would work out, planned when I would do my client check-ins and the podcast. But that's how I started every day. Like, and I literally do that every day. I think, okay, what are the things that I can't move because they're time sensitive? What are my top priorities and where would they fit within the day? And then everything else gets built around that. So you account for the rocks, then the pebbles, then the sand. That is the order. So often people get caught doing the stupid sand stuff and they don't get in the rocks. So if you say, for example, I want to work out. But you get up in the morning and you like, oh, let me, you know, check a couple emails. Then I wanted to, you know, do reorganize the kitchen. I wanted to do the laundry. And you piddle around with all this stuff. Then all of a sudden it's 4 p.m. You have a, you know, hair appointment at 6 p.m. And now all of a sudden you don't have time to work out. Well, you piddle around with all the small stuff. Get the big stuff in. Like do your workout right when you get up and then go do all the household stuff, right? So you have to account for the rocks, the pebbles, and the sand. That's the order. Get your big things in first as early in the day as you can, so that way you have the rest of the day, and when the rest of the world is awake, they can get in your way and muddle things up, but your big things are already accounted for. So I did a lot of rambling. I apologize if this one was kind of long or boring, but I really do genuinely want people to be able to feel that they have more control over consistency. And these three tips will help you if you continue to practice with them. Are you going to be perfect? Absolutely not. You know, I have 1,815 podcasts, but I haven't been perfect. I've been 97.2% perfect. Pretty damn good, but it's not 100%. You're not going to be 100% perfect. But you can damn sure be better than you've been. So the three tips are to clarify your priorities. Where does what you want to be consistent with rank in your priorities? And then remember that you have a capacity limit. The more well that I want to do, the less things I can do well. So you have to choose wisely. Second tip is treat it as a priority. Are you putting it first in your daily planning? Are you planning the rocks, then the pebbles, then the sand? Third tip is to find a solution, not an excuse. If you think that there's something in the way preventing you from doing it, look for how you can do it. Stop looking at what's going to get in the way and look for how you can actually get it done. Okay, I hope this was helpful. Again, sorry it was a little long, but I hope it helped. If you have any follow-up questions, just shoot me an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.